market system, and we're talking about, you know, we pivoted quite a while ago. The deficit hawks, you know, took over this debate. They won the debate. We've seen over 600,000 public sector jobs that have been lost. Actually, a good point of the report today was that we didn't see huge losses in government sector again
last month. Is that because right now they're not? I mean, is there a time when governments?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think we'll
slash jobs when they have to come up with a budget, and we're just not there yet.
Well, we'll see what happens. That could be. That could be right. It could. Did we see?
Well, I've been in animated conversation here in the booth, and I haven't been paying attention to whether the quote that somebody ran the numbers, a colleague of Silvio Allegretti at Berkeley ran the numbers, and I don't know how he did it, but 93% of the gains in the so-called recovery went to 1% of the population. Big surprise there, but apparently somebody actually documented it, so it isn't just a class resentment. Unspecified and nonspecific or something. It's really what's happening. And Labor Hours here occupy the air with more details on the township meetings. And there's a potluck at St. Jude's Catholic Worker House at 2, and there's a potluck in the park in advance of the Aware Occupy demo. That's in Westside Park at 12:30. The demo is at 2, Main and Neal. I got to get out of here. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your day.
Hello, folks, and welcome to the April 7th, 2012 edition of the Illinois World Labor Hour, brought to you over the air on WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM, and also streamed worldwide at weft.org. The views and opinions expressed during this hour of broadcasting are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of WEFT's management, board of directors, or Prairie Air Incorporated. Now here's Tom to acknowledge some of our underwriters.
I don't have the book.
I'll get that to you here in just a second, Tom.
I knew I was forgetting something.
That's all right.
Just take a second.
We got the Brotherhood of Maintenance Away, the AFL-CIO of Champaign County,
Jobs with Justice.
And Jobs with Justice. And
okay, Tom will get there. This hour programming is brought to you in part by Jobs with Justice, a coalition of union and community groups working for economic justice and workers' rights. Jobs with Justice holds regular meetings on the third Saturday of every month. For more information or for the unemployed and underemployed helpline, call area code 217-469-6111. It's 469-6111. And this hour of programming is being brought to you by you listeners of WEFT and by the Brotherhood of the Maintenance of the Way. The Brotherhood of the Maintenance of the Way employees are proud to continue their support for the Illinois World Labor Hour. A democratic union, the BMWE, celebrates the voice for labor on WEFT. It is our hope that all workers may share the same benefits that we enjoy, such as living wages, job security, away-from-home expense pay, early retirement, Canadian-style health insurance, and guaranteed year-round work. And the Illinois World Labor Hour is supported in part by you listeners of WEFT and by the AFL-CIO of Champaign County. The AFL-CIO represents the interests of more than 7,000 workers in Champaign County and more than 13 million workers nationwide. Recognizing that strong workers build strong communities, the AFL-CIO is proud to support community radio in East Central Illinois.
All right, thanks, Tom. I'm your host today, Bob Pelesny. I'm here today with co-host Tom Thomas, who will have some workers' interest news for us, and later in the show, the Labor Hour Cultural Corner. And Tom's poem for this week is one from his book, Cries for Justice, and it's titled Tax the Rich. And also here with us today is a co-founder of the Illinois World Labor Hour, Bill Gorell, with some labor news and commentary. And I guess we'll kick off this week's edition with workers' interest news, and I guess I'll do that. I got a story here out of Denmark, I believe. They're going to have a founding congress of the Industrial Global Union, and that's capital A-L-L, Industrial. It's going to represent workers across supply chains in mining, energy, and manufacturing sectors at a global level. And it says, trade unions from around the world will establish Industrial Global Union at a founding congress in June 2012. And it's going to unite, the new organization will bring together affiliates of the International Metalworkers Federation, the International Federation of Chemical, Energy, Mine, and General Workers Unions, and the International Textiles, Garment, and Leather Workers Federation. And this founding congress will take place in Copenhagen from June 18th to the 20th, 2012, and the proposed name, Industrial Global Union Statutes, Action Plan, and Political Leadership of the new organization will be decided on at the founding congress. They're also getting together a website. The website's entitled www.building-power.org. And the website will provide useful information and relevant documents for participants on the Founding Congress, dissolution congresses, and various side meetings, and will later include live reports from the event, including news articles, videos, and photos. Having greater strength and building power across the supply chain at the global level is the motivating force for the creation of Industrial, and hence the Congress theme, Building Power. Tom?
Hey. In spite of all the politicians' lies and promises, another major corporation is cutting its workforce by 2,000 employees company-wide. The 2,000 figure is a global number for the Yahoo Corporation, which announced cuts last Wednesday of about 14% of the 14,100 workers employed by the Internet company. It is not yet known how Yahoo's Champaign office will be affected by the massive layoffs. The workers losing their jobs were notified on Wednesday, but according to Yahoo, some affected employees were expected to stay on for an unspecified period of time to finish various important projects. This house cleaning marks Yahoo's sixth mass layoff in the past 4 years under three different CEOs. However, there are some glimmers of hope for Yahoo in Champaign. In December, the Champaign Yahoo office in the University of Illinois Research Park sought to hire 6 to 9 software developers, and maybe more if applicant responses are favorable.
Yeah, thanks. I guess somewhat related here. There's a Nokia town faces a dim future as struggling mobile phone maker shifts jobs to Asia. The town of Salo in Finland, it's inextricably linked to Nokia, is facing an uncertain future as Finland's most famous corporation shifts its mobile phone assembly to Asia. Squeezed by fierce competition from Apple Incorporated's iPhone, Samsung Electronics, and cheaper brands running Google's popular Android software, Nokia has been forced to slash costs, primarily affecting its operations in Europe. Nokia has already closed plants in Germany, Hungary, and Romania, and now it's the turn of the Finnish assembly plant. Some 1,000 of the 3,500 jobs in Salo, which until recently was Nokia's flagship assembly hub, are being cut this year. The once thriving technological center has already become a town of dusty, empty storefronts. Nokia's local taxes accounted for 95% of the town's corporate tax income that peaked at 60 million euros in 2010. Just as a brief history there, Nokia began as a paper maker in the 1890s, later made rubber products, cables, and televisions, before it came to Salo, a center for Finland's electronics industry since the 1920s and 1983. And Nokia formed an alliance with local radio and TV manufacturer, which led to the formation of Nokia mobile phones in 1989. 2 years later, the company produced its first cell phone. And it says Nokia still employs 12,000 people in Finland, one-fifth of its global workforce, and the company will maintain research and development, production planning, and smartphone customization for corporate clients in Salo and two other plants in Finland. Finland has been and will continue to be critical to our success. The majority of Windows Phone engineering and development team is in Finland, one of their representatives said. Nonetheless, Nokia has stuck to its decision to move all assembly jobs to its factories in Asia, where it has two plants in China and one each in South Korea and India. Bill?
Yeah, the Independent of the United Kingdom reports that USA Today, America's second biggest newspaper, has asked most of its staff to take the week off without pay to save money. The measures come as the newspaper continues to struggle to sell advertising space and is the latest in a series of cost-cutting initiatives in recent years. In a memo to staff, USA Today bosses indicated that the newspaper expects disappointing financial results in the quarter to June. That would be this quarter. According to the Associated Press, the executives, Susie Elwood and Evan Ray, wrote, quote, the bottom line is that the business conditions continue to be mixed and the national advertising environment remains volatile. Mr. Ray is president of Gannett Publishing Services, which prints and distributes USA Today and more than 80 other U.S. newspapers, most of which have also asked staff to go unpaid for a week. Anyway, I think this reflects what's going on in terms of different classes of workers, how they're being treated now.
Right.
You know, the more, quote, professional people are starting to be treated, you know, as a blue collar.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
they're
a trend. That,
losing their jobs as well.
Yeah. Yeah. It used to be, you know, just the people in the print room got laid off or whatever, but that's all, they all got laid off anyway, because I'm sure that there's been a whole bunch of labor saving electronic things going on down there.
As our productivity has increased, the number of jobs has decreased. Yes. But yeah, you know, ad representatives, salespeople, and stuff like that, editorial writers, everybody. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. Tom?
Hey, it looks like Illinois will be losing some 30 more jobs by the late summer or early autumn. Dow Chemical is planning to close its foam insulation plant down in Charleston during the third quarter of this year. According to company spokeswoman Rebecca Bentley, the plant, which presently employs over 30 people, will close as a result of the downturns in the U.S. building and construction industry. If, in Ms. Bentley's words, that sector continues to face a lot of headwinds. Production in the Illinois plant will be shifted to another Dow plant located in Pensauken, New Jersey, because it has had more recent investment, is a little bit newer, and is able to take on more capacity. Dow acquired the Charleston, Illinois plant in 2001 when it bought the Celotex Corporation's rigid foam insulation business. Last Monday, Dow announced the Charleston plant will be one of three facilities to be closed this year. The other two plants are in Portugal and Hungary, and another plant in the Netherlands will be idled, according to the company. The company said it plans to cancel several capital projects and institute workforce reductions as part of previously announced cost-cutting efforts.
All right. Here's a story that comes basically out of the World Socialist Workers website. It says the Detroit City Council voted 5-4 Wednesday to support a consent agreement proposed by Michigan's Republican Governor Rick Snyder and Democratic State Treasurer Andy Dillon, which gives city officials dictatorial powers to rip up union contracts and impose drastic cuts in social spending. The vote came one day before the deadline set by Snyder to accept the agreement or face the appointment of an emergency manager with the power to unilaterally impose cuts, sell city assets, and remove elected officials under provisions of Michigan's Public Act 4 enacted by the legislature last year. The vote by the city council follows the finding by a 10-member review team appointed by Snyder that Detroit faces a severe financial emergency. The city is reportedly running out of cash to pay its bills and faces a budget deficit of $200 million. The so-called consent agreement relieves the city of Detroit of its obligations to bargain with its unions under terms of the Michigan Public Employee Relations Act. It requires the city to scrap recent concessions contracts negotiated with city workers' unions, totaling some $360 million, and impose even deeper cuts. These include drastic changes in work rules and the elimination of defined pension for new hires in favor of 401k-style defined contribution plans. Among other changes, seniority rights will be undermined and city workers will be forced to perform work outside their job classifications. The city would also be empowered to outsource work currently performed by union members. If unions do not agree to the concessions by July 16th, the city can impose them. The agreement creates a 9-member financial advisory board. And here, just to kind of go along with what Bill was saying here, it says the endless claims by Democratic and Republican politicians in the media that there is no money for vital social programs are outrageous. After slashing the jobs and living standards of auto workers, General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler posted profits of some $28 billion in 2011. Just last week, Ford announced it awarded CEO Alan Mulally a pay package worth $29.5 million in 2011, on top of more than $100 million in stocks over the last 2 years. But they don't have enough money to pay their city workers anymore.
Well, yeah, and there's something a lot of people might not realize about Detroit. You know, you have this idea of Detroit as a like this sort of just bombed out shell of a city, and the city itself is in major, you know, problems, of course, but you have surrounding suburbs where all these executives live.
Yeah. Yep.
And I'm sure that they have chrome-plated, shiny schools and
right.
streets, you know, at least paved with aluminum and all of this and that, while yep. Detroit suffers, you yep. know.
The Pontiac Silver Dome where the Detroit Lions play, that's outside Detroit like that, you know.
And yeah, and that could have been a great revenue generator for the city itself. You know, right. that's there are, you know, so many, you know, like, you know, you're not really cheering for the Dallas Cowboys. You're really cheering for the Arlington Cowboys.
Right, you right. know. This story also mentioned that recently there had been plans to put two casinos in downtown Detroit there to try and bring some tourists, tax dollars back into the community, but plans for both of those casinos had been scrapped recently.
Yeah, and so. The average value of a house now in Detroit is $6,000.
6,000?
Yeah.
I've been thinking about going there and homesteading.
Yeah.
You know, sell everything out here.
There's a lot of vacant ones there. The unions in Detroit are not at all happy about this. The unions completed concession negotiations with Detroit over a month ago and have no intention to resume talks based on Snyder's plan. Here's a quote from the AFSCME president. As long as I am president, we will not be back at the table prior to the expiration date of our contract. That was Albert Garrett, president of AFSCME Council 25. That's what he told Detroit City Council. So, anyway.
Well, do you have the one about Scott Walker just signing with a bill to eliminate Wisconsin's equal pay law?
No, go for it, Bill.
Well, this is from the website Addicting Info, Addicting Info, not addictive, but addicting.org. With a stroke of his pen on Thursday, ultra-conservative Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker quietly eliminated the state's equal pay law that allows women and others who feel discriminated against to file charges in state and local courts. Supported by big business and probably by not few other people, that's my little comment, in Wisconsin, SB 202 effectively repeals the Equal Pay Enforcement Act of 2009, which gave women time to file discrimination suits against their workplace when they discover they've been paid unfairly for their work. The act was a response inspired by Lily Ledbetter, a woman who had been discriminated against by her workplace for years without knowing it, and when she finally took the case to federal court, she won. But the case was thrown out by the Supreme Court, which ruled that she filed the suit too late and should have filed it as soon as discrimination began, even though she didn't know about it for years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, his Republican-controlled state, Senate and House, both voted to repeal the law. Man, I tell you, I'm sure this was a ALEC situation, the American Legislative Exchange. Committee, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's big pro business. It's just another, I mean, it's just unconscionable.
Pro guns.
It's so regressive. It's like, women aren't equal.
Although I read something this week that some major corporations are pulling out of that ALEC group, pulling their funding and stuff and removing themselves from the board.
Yeah, because finally it's been getting out that it exists.
Right.
And what it's been doing. And it's just totally, it's anti-human.
Yeah.
Well, is what it is.
They say that Chris Christie gets a lot of his policies from ALEC.
Oh, God. Suggestion. He's supposed to be the next big Republican star. I am so sick of this. He is just, he reminds me of Fred Flintstone. You know, it just looks just like Fred Flintstone. You almost expect to see the kind of funny beard shadow cartoon thing on his face. You know,
I wonder if he uses his feet to stop his car.
Well, not that looking like Fred Flintstone has anything to do with anything, but he just, the whole gruff character, he's just, that makes me sick.
I should have brought that Muppet song in here this week, but I didn't do that. How about if we go to a little bit of Workers Independent News, and we'll be back shortly with Tom's poem.
Production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. A new campaign by a coalition of labor, public interest, consumer watchdog, and progressive organizations will target the corrupting influence of money from corporations in politics. The coalition includes SEIU, Common Cause, Public Citizen, MoveOn.org, and Occupy Wall Street, among others. A variety of tactics will be used to target corporations that use their profits to influence politics. New York City public advocate Bill de Blasio.
We're saying to corporate America, enough is enough. We are not going to stand for our democratic system being overwhelmed by money. We are not going to stand for corporate America donating to super PACs. We're going to challenge those donations. We're going to challenge efforts to hide donations through C4s and C6s. We're going to challenge the wealthy individuals who are flooding our system with money. And we have many tools to do it.
Common Cause President Bob Edgar says the people must reclaim the government from the corporations and the wealthy who are using the Citizens United decision to buy our democracy.
If corporations pay for the election of their leaders, our leaders will serve them over ordinary people. That's the problem with Citizens United. It allows corporations to drown out the voices of regular people.
SEIU President Mary Kay Henry says the Wisconsin Uprising's recall elections over collective bargaining rights and other issues is empowering grassroots people's struggles nationwide.
This is about the people of Wisconsin reclaiming democracy and teaching the rest of our nation what we can make happen when we take action.
There's improvement in the jobs numbers for young workers, Jesse Russell reports.
The job numbers for younger workers seem to be moving in the right direction. The availability of jobs for workers in the age group of 25 to 34 increased by 116,000 in February, and the unemployment rate for that demographic dropped from 9% to 8.7%. Younger workers were often the first to go when the recession hit due to employers eliminating entry-level positions. Statistically, that group's unemployment numbers throughout the recession ran higher than the overall national average. More young workers finding employment will likely have a ripple effect in other measures of the economy, including consumer confidence and first-time homeowners. However, there is still a hill to climb before economists will feel confident enough to use the young worker employment numbers as a sign of a healthy economy. In February, 74.7% of 25 to 34-year-olds were employed, but the preferred number by economists is 80%.
This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising is a one-hour documentary from Madison-based Workers Independent News. Get your copy today at laborradio.org. This newscast made possible in part by Ulico, the Union Labor Life Insurance Company. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
All right, we're back. WEFT, Champaign 90.1 FM, and streaming at weft.org. And you're listening to Illinois World Labor Hour. We've come to that part in the show for the Cultural Corner. And Tom's poem for this week is entitled Tax the Rich.
Dog paddling through poverty while struggling to stay alive is not where anyone should be who lives upon this earthly hive. While choking on polluted air, we burn in ultraviolet light. Our planet soon may not be here unless we start to treat her right. Bombing the babies of the sand is something we should never do. It's time we people ran our land and dismissed that murderous crew. Illuminati, they are called, but gutless scum is what they are. Their treachery needs overhauled, not just here, but in lands afar. When Ron the Rat started to gnaw back in the year of 81, the death of our Constitution we saw. What Bush told Ron to do was done. And like a cancer eating at the very soul of liberty, the Illuminati grew fat, feeding upon our misery. They took our jobs. They've killed our kids. They laugh at us like we're funny. We cannot even work the skids. We're broke because they have our money. So what's wrong with social contracts between our government and us? When will the rich pay their taxes? Before our nation turns to dust? Tax the Rich was written at the Poets' Loft in Champaign, Illinois in the autumn of 2009 and was brought to you live today, April 7th, 2012, here on the Illinois World Labor Hour on WEFT 90.1 FM in Champaign, community radio for East Central Illinois since 1981.
Thanks, Tom. And time for us to do a couple of public service announcements here. And as usual, I want to remind folks they can tune in this Sunday and every Sunday at 4 o'clock to Labor's View TV. That's on local cable channel 6. This Sunday and every Sunday, Labor's View TV features our own Dave Johnson and also a friend of the show, Jim Iman, always on there. And they bring you some very interesting talk and videos and things like that. Labor's View TV. And as I'm sure you're going to hear more of in the next couple hours here from the fine folks at Occupy the Air, there's a couple ballot issues that are coming up here. On Tuesday, April 10th, the Champaign and Urbana Township meetings have on their agenda two items to be voted on by all registered voters in attendance. One calls for an item to be added to the November ballot, which urges representatives from the local to the national level to endorse an amendment which declares corporations do not have the same rights as people and states that legislation should be pursued which challenges the Citizens United Supreme Court decision by reenacting curbs on corporate spending in elections. Another item adds to the November ballot a measure which challenges corporate enclosure of the commons by establishing laws in Champaign-Urbana which allow non-disruptive forms of free speech in areas where private businesses can currently prohibit it, such as private parking lots and malls. And if you're registered to vote in Champaign, you can vote on these issues at the Champaign City Building. That's at 102 North Neal Street. That's on April 10th at 7 p.m. And you can share this event with your friends. And if you're registered to vote in Urbana, you can vote on these issues at the Urbana Civic Center. That's 108 East Water Street on April 10th at 6 p.m. And you can also share this event with your friends. If you're not registered to vote or do not live in Champaign-Urbana, you can still support these causes. So this is a public service announcement here. Get involved and go to your township meetings. And I think Bill's got a public service announcement.
Yes.
Excuse me.
Join thousands of union workers on a march to send Mitch Daniels and the Republican Party a clear message that right to work won't work in Illinois. Where is this going to be? Hessel Park, 1401 Grandview Drive, Champaign, Illinois. And when will it be? Thursday, April 19th, Hitler's birthday. Gather from 3 to 4 p.m. there at Hessel Park. There will be speakers from 4 to 5:15. Then there will be a march from the park to the Hilton Garden Convention Center from 5:15 to 7:15. And there will be a return to the park at 7:30. There will be bus parking available. Details to follow. Please watch this website for updates at www.facebook.com. Right to work won't work in Illinois. Okay?
Good.
So go to Facebook and search for Right to Work Won't Work in Illinois.
Sounds good, yeah.
And remember, that's Thursday, April 19th, Hitler's birthday.
And that's celebrating.
Celebrating
our visiting governor from next door, coming over, Mitch Daniels, who does so much to support workers in that state, doesn't he?
Well, I mean, the Republicans are having a Hitler's birthday party,
yeah.
And we're just going to kind of crash it.
Okay, sounds like fun.
Yes.
And that's Thursday, April 19th, right?
That's right, and start the gathering from 3 to 4 at Hessel Park, 1401 Grandview Drive, Champaign, Illinois.
That's only a block or two away from Hilton Gardens Inn, so that
sounds convenient. And it's also right on Kirby Avenue, too.
Yeah, so. Plenty of parking around that park.
Yeah, because Grandview Drive is not that well known. It's, about 3 or 4 blocks west of Neal Street?
Yeah.
Right off of Kirby Avenue.
Yeah, excellent. We could also mention briefly the WEFT wine tasting that's going on April 21st from 3 to 6:30 p.m. at the Corkscrew and Bouvon's Wine Bar. And they're going to have a Boneyard Arts Festival with some art from Ed Hadley, visual and audio artist. And we're going to have some of our T-shirts and posters and other items and stuff. And they're going to have a wine tasting from around the world and food provided by Black Dog Smoke and Ale House. And that's only a $10 donation that goes to support WEFT.
So. Does Ed still have his late Saturday night show?
Sure does. Tune in tonight from midnight to 4 a.m. Sunday morning. Incoming Wounded.
Yes.
It's quite a interesting show.
Yes.
Excellent. Hey, I wanted to mention something here this week since people were talking somewhat. April 4th was the commemoration, I guess, or remembrance of Martin Luther King's assassination. And I did want to mention, I know we've said it before on this show many times, that Martin Luther King was in Memphis in support of striking sanitation workers there. And I'll tell you a little bit here about a story I got. It says, on the 1st of February, 1968, two Memphis garbage truck collectors, Echo Cole and Robert Walker, were crushed to death by a malfunctioning truck. 12 days later, frustrated by the city's response to the latest event in a long pattern of neglect and abuse of its black employees, 1,300 black men from the Memphis Department of Public Works went on strike. Sanitation workers, led by garbage collector turned union organizer T.O. Jones and supported by the president of AFSCME, Jerry Wirth, demanded recognition of their union, better safety standards, and a decent wage. The union, which had been granted a charter by AFSCME in 1964, had attempted a strike in 1966, but it failed in large part because workers were unable to arouse the support of Memphis's religious community or middle class. Conditions for black sanitation workers worsened when Henry Loeb became mayor in January 1968. Loeb refused to take dilapidated trucks out of service or pay overtime when men were forced to work late-night shifts. Sanitation workers earned wages so low that many were on welfare and hundreds relied on food stamps to feed their families. On the 11th of February, over 700 men attended a union meeting and unanimously decided to strike. Unanimously. That's not two or three voted against it.
There's usually got some people who are a little nervous about striking.
Right. 700 people unanimously decided to strike. Within a week, the local branch of the NAACP passed a resolution supporting the strike. The strike might have ended on the 22nd of February when the city council, pressured by a sit-in of sanitation workers and their supporters, voted to recognize the union and recommended a wage increase. However, Mayor Loeb rejected the council's vote, insisting that only he had the authority to recognize the union, and he refused to do so. The following day, police used mace and tear gas against nonviolent demonstrators marching to City Hall. Memphis's black community was galvanized, meeting in a church basement on the 24th of February. 150 local ministers formed Community on the Move for Equality, or CUM, under the leadership of King's longtime ally, local minister James Lawson. CUM committed to using nonviolent civil disobedience to fill Memphis jails and bring attention to the plight of the sanitation workers. By the beginning of March, local high school and college students, nearly a quarter of them white, were participating alongside garbage workers in daily marches, and over 100 people, including several ministers, had been arrested. You may recall at times there were striking sanitation workers were wearing signs down there that just said, "I am a man." You know? And that's what brought Martin Luther King to Memphis and ultimately led to his assassination down there. He was just looking to expose the need for economic equality and social justice that he'd hoped his Poor People's Campaign would highlight nationally. So.
And he was murdered by the FBI sniper on the fourth day of the fourth month.
Yeah, yeah. Well, as Dave Johnson likes to point out, you can read it online. Just go check it out about the King's family lawsuit that they won against Memphis, I think, and the FBI for hiding the real truth behind his death. So.
Yeah, there was an interesting interesting picture on Facebook this morning. It was Martin Luther King's blood being cleaned up off the balcony.
Oh, really?
I had never thought about this.
Yeah.
Guess who got to clean it up? A couple of black men.
Yeah.
Of course, they would be the janitor force, you know, at the hotel. I just never, you know, that picture just kind of struck me.
Yeah.
Oh,
that
reminds
had to
maybe
be heartbreaking for the men.
It reminds me of a Wayne Kramer song. And perhaps I'll look it up here. Not an MC5 song, but a Wayne Kramer song
okay.
called Shining Mr. Lincoln's Shoes.
All right.
I'll try and find it on YouTube at some point. But I have, why don't you go ahead and crank up the auxiliary here?
Sure.
Because I have, here's how Rick Santorum celebrates during the week of Martin Luther King's assassination anniversary.
Okay. We should be ready to go.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wait a minute.
Yeah, let's start
that
over.
I got my headphones plugged in instead of this. Yeah. God, how many times am I going to do this? Sorry, folks. Hold on. Okay.
Okay.
Here we go.
America was a source for division around the world. We know the candidate Barack Obama, what he was like, the anti-war government. America was a source for division around the world.
Yeah, folks, what do you think he was saying there, huh?
Interesting. That's Rick Santorum on the campaign trail.
Yeah, just and you might remember a few weeks ago when he talked about blah people. On welfare or food stamps or whatever it was. What a worm, man. To think that people are going to think that he's I don't know. Did you want to take a little break?
Yeah, I'm going to go, and we're going to listen to a little bit of Hightower Radio News here. Alrighty. So, yeah.
And one of the saddest signs of the times, this message is popping up all across the country as governors and legislators are cutting off funds and shutting off access to one of the finest, most popular assets owned by the people of our country, state parks. More than 6,600 of these jewels draw some 700 million visitors a year to their grand vistas, historic sites, wildlife, campgrounds, educational centers, and lodges. Parks are literally a tangible expression of America's democratic ideals, common ground for every man, woman, and child to enjoy and experience. For the middle class and the poor, who can't jet off to luxury resorts for a getaway or vacation, these spaces offer a form of real wealth, something that each of us literally owns, knitting us together as a community and a nation. Yet, too many spiritually shriveled, small-minded, and short-sighted state officials are snuffing out this uniting social force, stupidly treating parks as nothing but a budget number, or worse, a piece of the nanny state to be axed in the name of ideological purity. Top politicos in most states are closing many of their parks, slashing hours and services at others, or simply handing over the public's asset to profiteering corporations. Idaho's governor has proposed eliminating the entire parks department. California shut the gates of a fourth of the state's parks last year. Officials in Arizona and Florida intend to privatize their parks. Washington State has cut off most of its park funding, and Ohio has okayed oil drilling in its parks to replace state financing. This is Jim Hightower saying, as Woody Guthrie said of outlaws, some will rob you with a six-gun, some with a fountain pen. Shutting parks is theft by the in-laws, the political insiders who are stealing the people's property, stealing from America itself.
Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, HightowerLowdown.org.
Stand up, we shall not be moved, except by a child with no socks and shoes. If you got more to give, then you've got to prove. Put your hands up, and I'll copy you. Stand up, we shall not be moved, except by a woman dying from a loss of food. If you've got more to give, then you've got to prove. Put your hands up, and I'll copy you. We still don't understand. Thunder and lightning flash back to when we didn't fund the dam. Didn't fund the dam levy? No wonder, man. Now a whole damn city's torn asunder, man. Underwater. But we still don't understand. We see hurricane spills overrun the land through gaps you couldn't fill with 100 tons of sand. No, we still don't understand. We've seen planes in the windows of buildings crumbled in. We've seen flames sending chills through London, and we've sent planes to kill them, and some of them are children, but still we crumble in the building. Underfunded, but we still don't understand. Under God, but we kill like the son of Sam. But if you feel like I feel about the son of man, we will overcome. So stand up. We shall not be moved, except by a child with no socks and shoes. If you've got more to give, then you've got to prove. Put your hands up, and I'll copy you. Stand up. We shall not be moved, except by a woman dying from a loss of food. If you've got more to give, then you've got to prove. Put your hands up, and I'll copy you. I said, put your hands up, and I'll copy you. Put your hands up, and I'll copy you. If you've got more to give, then you've got to prove. Put your hands up, and I'll copy you. Shall not be moved, except by a child with no socks and shoes, except by a woman dying from a loss of food, except by a freedom fighter bleeding on a cross for you. We shall not be moved, except by a system that's rotten through, neglecting the victims and ordering the cops to shoot. High treason, now we need to prosecute, so stand up. We shall not be moved, and we won't fight a war for a fossil fuel. Of times like this, make you wanna plot a coup. Put your hands up, and I'll copy you. Stand up. Stand up, we shall not be moved, unless we're taking a route we have not pursued. So if you've got a dream and a lot to do, put your hands up, and I'll copy you. I said put your hands up, and I'll copy you. Put your hands up, and I'll copy you. If you've got a dream and a lot to do, put your hands up.
Now shake, shake a Polaroid dream. Nightmare negatives develop on the screen. We sit back and wait for the government team. Criticize they, but who the fuck are we? The people want peace, but the leaders want war. Neighbors don't speak, peek through the front door. House representatives, please stay the course.
It's time for a leap of faith.
Once more, put your hands up high if you haven't abandoned. Hope that the pen stroke's stronger than the cannon. Balls to the wall, nose to the grindstone.
My interrogation techniques leave your mind blown.
Place your bets, let's speak to the enemy. Don't let him pretend that we seek blood. And who's we anyway? Kimosabe, mighty warlord, wannabe street dog. A threat for a threat leaves the whole world terrified. Blow for blow never settles the score. Word for word, it's time we clarify. We the people did not want war. So stand up. Not be moved, except by a child with no socks and shoes. If you've got more to give, then you've got to prove. Put your hands up, and I'll copy you. Stand up, we shall not be moved, unless we're taking a route we have not pursued. So if you've got a dream and a lot to do, put your hands up, and I'll copy you. I said put your hands up, and I'll copy you. Put your hands up, and I'll copy you. If you've got a dream and a lot to do, put your hands up.
Some laugh, some salivate. What's in your alleyway? Recycling bins or bullet cases? It's not equal, it's not fair.
He's a temporary contract man since the union lost its clout. He's got no meds or benefits. Living hand to mouth in the shadow of the monument, he finally pays dues, dying of a heart attack while shining Mr. Lincoln's shoes. There's them that's got the money. There's them that ain't. There's them that's smelling roses. There's them that's huffing paint. In the shadow of the monument, he finally pays dues. Dying of a heart attack while shining Mr. Lincoln's shoes.
we're back here on Illinois World Labor Hour on WEFT Champaign. You heard a little bit of Hightower Radio News and then a couple pieces from some Flobot songs, Rise and Stand Up. And that last song, Bill, was Wayne Kramer.
Yeah, that was Shining Mr. Lincoln's Shoes. And if you want to hear it again, you can find it on YouTube. Of course, Wayne would probably like it if you bought the CD. But anyway, I got off of YouTube for you, and the video on YouTube is dedicated to Wisconsin, and it's pretty well worth watching. They put some good visuals with the song.
Excellent. And Wayne Kramer was a member of the MC5 back in the day.
That is correct.
Yeah.
And met him one day here in Champaign.
Really?
Yeah.
He was playing at a show?
He was playing the High Dive, and this was back in, what was that, 1999.
Hmm.
And a guy from the station here prized me of the show, and I went and hung out after work. I poured concrete for 10 hours till 5 o'clock that day and went and stopped by that bar and just kind of hung out. And I was leaving, and I was parked in front. There was a van ahead of me, and this younger woman who had walked into the bar and asked a question, then came back out. I had the impression she was with the band, so I followed the minivan around back, and Wayne got out, and I went up and introduced myself and
excellent
said come back to the show, and then I went home and fell asleep. Missed it.
So
I was already 45 by then, man. It's getting tough, you know.
Yep.
But I got something I'm kind of upset about today.
Well, let's hear it, Bill.
The corporatization of unions. And anyway, that's my Union Plus credit card.
Hmm.
Oh, and see, this whole Union Plus thing, it's a kind of a package deal. You can get credit cards, and they do have some things like if you go on strike, then you don't have to have your minimum payment. Or
really?
If you're laid off, you can skip like two payments if you're laid off or something.
Hmm.
The thing is, though, the interest still keeps accruing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that's not so much of a benefit, that's for sure. And they have all kinds of other discounts on, you know, travel, maybe various kinds of insurance. And what the Union Plus program, I think one of the major reasons that it came into being was that there are many workers in the United States that have workplaces where there are unions, but they don't have to join the union, such as a right to work state, or in almost every instance, government employees.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not so sure about the federal government, but I do know, at least with the state of Illinois, you know, you don't have to join the union. Well, one of the ways that they get people to join the union is that they give this benefits thing. In fact, there was somebody here at WEFT several years ago who worked for the Department of Children and Family Services, and she finally joined the union just so she could get in on the Union Plus deal. Well, anyway, the thing I'm not real happy about, and I'm not finding this as a real benefit, and that's with my Union Plus card. And unfortunately, I got a fairly healthy balance on it. And they're charging me 21.99%.
Yeah?
Yes. 21.
That's equitable.
0.99%.
That's equitable. And the money that you had in the bank is getting like a quarter of 1%.
What money in the bank? It's all my checking account is somewhere to distribute money to rich people.
Yeah.
That's what it is, you know. Yeah. I mean, I'm just a conduit for money from rich contractors and to various other rich people.
Yep.
You see?
Yep.
And that's what we all are, actually. Yep. Even if you are saving, you're going out and you're buying stuff.
Yep.
But, I mean, I'm looking at this like, I don't know. This is a AFL-CIO deal is what it is, even though my card is the Laborer's Platinum card. This whole thing was done by the AFL-CIO. They made the deal and set it all up.
Uh-huh.
So I'm Richard Trumka's Facebook friend.
Oh yeah,
and
sure.
I sent him a message about it. I haven't heard anything back yet. It's a respectful message. And excuse me, I'm the friend of the person who does Richard Trumka's Facebook. Probably
yes.
And you know, but
Let me see. I had that phone number.
Oh. Speaking of Facebook, I believe we have a Facebook page now, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Facebook. Yeah, just search under Illinois World Labor Hour. You should find it. You can friend us, and hopefully in the next few weeks we'll start becoming more interactive with that, and you can post some comments up there, and we'll kind of monitor it during the show, but check that out. But you got that phone number, Bill?
Yeah, hold on a second here.
This is for the
AFL-CIO in Washington. I called him. I talked to some guy there, and he put me to a public relations person, you know. And so I chewed her ear off for about 20 minutes. And, you know, if she's a public relations person, what can she do?
Did you feel better?
No.
All right.
Did she have a thick accent?
Actually, she did have an Asian accent. But she, I think she was probably in Washington. Anyway, the phone number is 202-637-5000. Call 202-637-5000 with basically any complaint you have about the American Labor Union.
Mm-hmm.
Movement, excuse me, or your union or anything else. And specifically in this case, call them up and tell them that you think it's a big pile of bull feces for their Union Plus credit card to be charging anybody 21.99% interest. And that's 202-637-5000. And by the way, Richard Trumka still has not reached 5,000 friends yet. So you can still friend Richard Trumka.
Or the person that takes care of Richard Trumka's Facebook. So there you go. Well, I think we'll fade out here. I got a Ry Cooter song, No Banker Left Behind, and stay tuned for the folks from Occupy the Airwaves.
I saw Ry Cooter in Springfield.
Did you?
In the 1970s when he was playing with the flamenco band.
Oh, yeah.
Back then.
Yeah. The really Buena good. Vista Social Club?
No, No, it was a flamenco band
from
Mexicans.
Yeah, okay.
It was, he had an album out where they were on it. Had one of them great big giant guitars.
Yeah, cool.
He didn't, but one of the guys.
He's a superb guitar player. So, and this is from his latest CD or album, and it's titled No Banker Left Behind. And stay tuned for the folks from Occupy the Air.
The bankers all are leaving. You better come round and see. It's a startling revelation. They robbed the nation blind. They're all down at the station. No banker left behind. No banker, no banker, no banker could I find. They were all down at the station. No banker left behind. The White House they went one day. They was going to call on the president in a quiet and a sociable way. And the afternoon was